him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, the Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Excuse me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now this is continuing discourse with the disciples, which we looked at this morning when we looked at verses 1 to 7. So this is a continued discourse of that time of our Lord with His disciples. And we're continuing to look at this here tonight, considering the verses which we just read. Now Philip asked a question to the Lord in verse 8, asking the Lord to show them the Father. And our Lord in verses 9 to 12 brings forth here His oneness with the Father. He brings forth that He is God. His oneness with the Father. Look at verses 9 to 12. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. For the very works that he did. Because the works that he did, only God could do those works, beloved. Only God could do those works. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now notice in verse 16, our Lord promises to send the Comforter to His disciples. So He's still speaking to His disciples here, and He promises to send the Comforter to His disciples after His death. Look at verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Forever. So He's assuring them that He must die. He must die. But He will not leave them comfortless. He will not leave them comfortless, beloved. He must go. He must go and die on Calvary's cross. He must ascend into glory so that the Holy Spirit comes. And He's letting them know that this would occur when after He died. And remember how He says, I'll not leave you comfortless, right? He's God. And the Holy Spirit is God too. And so He's saying to them, I'll not leave you. And remember, even before the Holy Spirit was sent, God was still with them. The Father's watching over them, isn't He? Oh yes. God is still watching over them. There's never a second when we're not in the eyes of the Lord. Never a second. Let's look at that again in verses 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now, note there in verse 18, I'll not leave you comfortless. You know what the Greek word there for comfortless is? You know what it means? Orphans. I'll not leave you orphans. Isn't that amazing? I'll not leave you orphans. Think of this. What does Ephesians tell us? We're adopted in Christ. Right? I'll not leave you fatherless. I'll not leave you fatherless. That's wonderful, beloved. That's wonderful news. I'll not leave you orphans. Now, when a father dies, he leaves his children as orphans, doesn't he? He leaves his children for others to care for and to raise. But our Lord continues in the text saying, I'll come to you. I'll come to you. The reference here is not to the return of Christ, but to the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Because they're all God. The Father's God, the Son's God, and the Holy Spirit's God. So, to have the Spirit of Christ is to have Christ. To have the Spirit of Christ is to have the Father. Listen to what the Scriptures declare over in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says this, But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, he's called the Spirit of God in that verse and the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8, verse 9. Also note that the Lord is, in these verses, in verses 16 to 18, brings forth before us the unity of God, of the Godhead. He brings forth the unity of the Godhead, saying here, pray to the Father, and the Father will send the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, what does He do? He regenerates us and points us to Christ. And He's our Comforter. And He teaches believers the things of Christ. Everything that we know, everything that we've learned, is attributed to the work of the Spirit. Because without Him, we would know nothing about God. We'd know nothing about Christ. Nothing at all. And also, remember, not only is He our Comforter, but we're being conformed to the image of Christ. My. And note how the Lord comforts the disciples. He must soon leave them. We know that. He must soon leave them. He must soon go to die upon the cross. To redeem His people. How? By the shedding of His own precious blood. He must soon go to purchase the souls of all that the Father gave Him. He must soon go to satisfy God's law and justice in their place. And note how He comforts them. By bringing forth that the Holy Spirit will never leave them once He comes. Look at this in verse 16 again. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. God will never leave His people. Never. Again, as we looked at this morning, what great comfort this would bring the disciples, and what great comfort it brings we who are God's people to know these truths. To know these truths. To know that our great God and King will never leave us or forsake us. People in our lives may leave us. People in our lives may forsake us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Never. Absolutely never. Never. And in the Scriptures we'll be looking at tonight, we'll see our Lord's teaching to the church about the person and glory of God the Holy Ghost. And for future study at home, you'll see that this teaching continues. If you continue to read in chapter 15 and 16, that he continues to teach them about the Holy Ghost. And how needful it is in our day with all the false teaching about to have a proper understanding of who God the Holy Spirit is. In His person and in His character. And I hope and pray that God the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Scriptures for us and be pleased to teach us tonight that we might glorify our great, sovereign, almighty God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now this study will be no way exhaustive. You could study each member of the Godhead for a lifetime and never exhaust who they are. It's just endless. It's just endless who He is, who they are. Now we know from our studies of the Scripture that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one and yet three distinct persons. I heard somebody give the analogy of water is water. Ice is water, and steam is water. It's all water. I thought that was a pretty neat analogy. But God the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Three in one, yet distinct, but yet one. And look at in our study here, look at how this is brought forth in verses 16 to 18 again. And I will pray the Father, God the Father, and this is Christ speaking, Christ the Son, and He shall give you another Comforter, God the Spirit, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So again, we see the whole Trinity right here in action. In unity. And then look at John 14:26, just a little further down. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now the Comforter, again, is the Holy Spirit. It is He who takes the things of Christ and reveals them to those who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Reveals them to God's elect. Turn a few chapters over, and again, we'll look at John 16, verses 13 and 14. Look at what it says here. And think again. Think of how we knew really nothing about Christ before we were saved. Now, we may have heard and heard about Christ and heard about God, but I'll tell you this. I did not know who God was. I did not know who Christ was until I was born again by the Holy Spirit of God. I thought I knew. I had in my mind who He was. But I found out that God, who I thought He was nothing but nothing but something that came out of the idol factory of my heart. And He wasn't the God of the Scriptures. I'll never forget when someone asked me if I knew Christ. And I said, yes. And he said, no, do you know the Christ of the Bible? And I said, well, yeah. He says, no, you don't. That was the beginning of the crumbling of the refuge of lies that I trusted in. And then God taught me who He was after I was born again by the Spirit. And I know it's so for you. You're all nodding your head. I know it's so for you because that's what happens. He reveals to us who He really is. Who He really is. Not who we think He is. But what the Scripture says He is. Oh, look at this though in John 16, verse 13 and 14. And think of that. So we knew nothing about Him. And think about what we've learned now. And really what we've learned is just a scratch on the surface of who God really is. But we marvel in it, don't we? We marvel in it because we're just filled with amazement that we had no idea who He was, and now He's revealed Himself to us. And it just gets better and better and better as we hear the gospel preached, doesn't it? It just gets more and more amazing who He is. And look at the reason why that happens. Look at this in John 16, 13 and 14. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He does it. It's all the work of God, beloved. See, we can't take credit for nothing we know. We can't boast in what we know because we've been taught by the Holy Spirit of God who Christ is. It's all the work of God, beloved, and it's marvelous. He will guide you into all truth. Who's the truth? We looked at that this morning. Who's the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the truth. And God guided us into truth. And He showed us who Christ is. And that's why we love to hear the gospel preached. That's why we won't settle for anything else. Preacher told me a long time ago. He says, once you hear the gospel of God's grace in Christ, it ruins you for everything else. It does! You don't want to hear nothing else but what He's done for us. It's wonderful. And because we've been guided into all of truth. For He shall not, look at this. Now there's huge movements out there that emphasize the Holy Spirit, right? It says here, he'll not speak of himself. He'll not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Look at this. This is the kicker right here. Look at verse 14. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. Points the believer to Christ. Guides us to all truth. And who's again truth? Christ. He doesn't speak of himself, beloved. He points you right to Christ. He reveals Christ to you. And the only way we know who Christ is after we're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And then we live a life. I mentioned this morning. We live a life of learning who Christ is then. And then we have the honor and the privilege and the great blessing when we breathe our last breath to see Him face to face. Oh my. Oh my. It's all a work of God, beloved. Look at this. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. He reveals Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. He regenerates us. And sheds God's love abroad. He sheds God's love in our hearts. That wasn't there before we were saved. We had no love for Christ. We had no love for the Word. We had no love for the Gospel. We had no love for God's people. But after we're born again, He sheds that love in our hearts. And we rejoice over the Gospel. We rejoice over Christ. We praise God when we never praised Him before. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And then we learn more and more about Christ through the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. And what do we learn? Well, we learn that we're complete in Christ. We learn about a successful Savior. He's not trying to save His people from their sins. He's done it. He's done it. And we learn that salvation is all of the Lord. From beginning to end. From beginning, He guides us to all truth. Again, who's the truth? Christ and Christ alone. Oh. We learn of what Christ has done. That He died on the cross for His people. The Holy Spirit teaches the believer. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He comforts the believer with the truths of the Scripture. We get comfort, don't we, when we hear the gospel preached. It comforts our souls. When Christ is not preached, when men seek gifts and healing rather than mercy and grace and redemption in Christ, then one can be certain that it is not the Holy Spirit of truth who is speaking. When men are seeking after gifts, when men are seeking after healings, and I'm talking the Pentecostal, Word of Faith movement, all them folks, the Holy Spirit is not in that. Not at all. Not at all. And how do we know? Because He teaches us the things of Christ. He points us right to Christ. And all those things do, all that movement does is glorify man. That's what it does. It glorifies man. Notice in verse 17, we have one of the titles of the Holy Spirit here. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Oh my. And that's what He is. He's the Spirit of Truth, beloved. He's the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive at all, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Now I want us to think upon some things here. When we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, it is He who regenerates us. It's all a work of God. It's all by His divine power. And again, He sheds God's love in the hearts of believers. He teaches us and guides us, teaching the believer in Christ the things of Christ. And He abides with us always as the pledge or earnest of our future glory. And beloved, it is He who will guide you into all truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. It's He who will guide you into all truth. He gives us understanding. I remember when I read this book before I was saved, it was just paper and ink. Before I was born again of the Spirit, I didn't understand this book. But as Brother Norm Wells and I say now, we're getting on the phone together and we're saying, "Boy, is the ink still wet on that? I've never seen on that before." Right? God shows us the truth in the Scripture, doesn't He? He reveals things to us. And it's marvelous. We give Him all the glory. And it's the Spirit of Truth who's revealing that to us. He gives us an understanding and teaches us the things of Christ through the preaching of the Word or through the reading of the Scriptures. And He makes it clear to believers, doesn't He? There's no confusion that way. Now, we may come across many times, come across passages we don't understand. And I like what Norm said. He says, there's truth there. The Lord just doesn't be pleased to reveal it to us yet. That's true. Because that's why later on, when you read it after about 100 times, and all of a sudden it just lights up on you, and you're going, "Wow, I never saw that." Well, it's the Spirit of Truth revealing that to you. It's now the time for you to know that. And isn't it amazing that usually it's times when we really need that, when that happens. It's times when we really need that. We just need that. Oh my. But He always reveals Christ to us and the things of Christ. And again, we saw there in chapter 16, verse 13, He'll not speak of Himself, He'll glorify Christ. Always remember that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. And what the Father purposes, the Son purchases, and the Spirit applies. The Father purposed our salvation. The Son purchased our salvation, and the Spirit applied our salvation. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And the Holy Spirit of God will guide the believer into all truth, because He's the Spirit of Truth. He reveals to us the things to come concerning our Lord's return and the certainty of it. We know He's coming back, don't we? We know He's coming back. Oh my. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God, the Scriptures, to teach His people. Teach the people of God. He does not use dreams and visions. You hear about that stuff nowadays. Dreams and visions and special revelations. Like people have a hotline to God that someone else doesn't have. Don't ever listen to that stuff. That's just the blind leading the blind, beloved. Oh my. And those things are prevalent among the false teachers of our days, and those things were prevalent they've been prevalent for years. But the Holy Spirit of God teaches us what? The things of Christ. And that's what the believer desires. We desire to hear the things of Christ. We desire to hear His precious, precious Word. Turn, if you would, quickly, just to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then put your finger in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, but keep your finger back in John 14, because we'll be going back there. I got you in three different places right now. So, yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll go back to John 14. Look at verse 15 to 17 in 2 Peter chapter 3, speaking of the Scriptures and knowing that it's through the Word of God and through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that we grow in our knowledge, and even we grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Because our faith is stronger now than it was when isn't it? It is. Because we've been taught and we've seen the faithfulness of the Lord through our lives and through our journey so far in this world. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." How? through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished with all good works. Now the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes it profitable for us, beloved. Makes it profitable. Sometimes for reproof. Sometimes for correction. I know I've been listening to the messages and got it right between the eyes sometimes. And the preacher don't even know that I got it between the eyes. Oh my. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's amazing. And now go over to 2 Peter and we'll look at verses 20 and 21. And remember, we did not know any of these things about the Lord before the Lord saved us. Now, we may have had a head knowledge of things, but it wasn't the heart. It wasn't in the heart. It wasn't in the heart, was it? Oh, my. Look at this in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy is of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, that sure does in those people who are talking about dreams and visions and special revelations, doesn't it? That just destroys them right there. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we saw over there in John 16 that the Holy Ghost glorifies Christ. He speaks of Christ, He reveals Christ, and enables believers to grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of Christ. As we grow in grace, two things happen that I'm aware of. It's happened in my life. I see myself more and more of a sinner, and you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we can't see our own growth, but we can look back and see what we knew when the Lord first saved us and see what we know now. Now that progression happened without us even really, we're amazed at what we know now. We still can't even boast in that, can we though? We can't boast in anything but Christ and Christ alone. We don't want to boast in what we know. Because like I said, what we know is but just a little scratch on the surface. Just what God wants to reveal to us. And we glory in that. We glory in the Lord Jesus Christ that He's pleased to show us these things. It's amazing. It's truly, truly, truly amazing grace. So we learn of Christ, we learn of what He's done. And the Holy Spirit comforts the believers through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Look again at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Why is the Holy Spirit called the Spirit of truth again? Because He guides the born-again believer into all truth. And it is He who reveals the truth contained in the Scriptures. And we know that the Scriptures point to the One who is called the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book testifies to Christ. This book points to Christ. And it points the believer to Christ. All by the Holy Spirit revealing to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the natural man cannot receive the things of God, because they're dead in trespasses and sins. They're blind and deaf spiritually to the things of God. And we who believe know we were in that state. That was our state at one time. Now, we, like I said, we may have known some stuff about the Scripture. We may have known some truth even from the Scripture, but we didn't really know it. No. Because we didn't really know Christ. But when He revealed Himself to us, oh my, everything fell into place, didn't it? It's incredible. And then we, as I said, we just continually learn about who Christ is. And it's God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who gives us eyes to see Christ and gives us ears to hear through the preaching of the Word, the shepherd's voice. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Now this is brought forth real clearly over in Matthew chapter 13. Turn it there, if you would, over there. Matthew chapter 13. We're given eyes to see and ears to hear by God Himself, God the Holy Spirit. We're born again. Matthew 13, verses 13 to 16. And 16, we'll look at that a little bit, but 16 is amazing when you consider that we're born dead in trespasses and sins. Look at this though in 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Well, that was my state before I was born again of the Holy Spirit. Was it yours? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now look at this for God's people. And think, let's bring this right home. Every one of us here who are born again, this speaks of us. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. That's a work of God, beloved. Someone who was blind and deaf can now see and hear. All by the divine power of God. All by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as a result of our fall in Adam, men are born dead spiritually. You must be born again, our Lord proclaimed, and we know this is all by divine power, and all by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And only then will we see Christ. Only then will we understand the things of the kingdom of God. Only then will you love God and love the gospel and love Christ, whom the gospel proclaims, and love the brethren. Only then, only when you're born again. And the born again believer knows God. He knows the Redeemer. He knows the Spirit of God who dwells with him and in him. And the distinct person of the Holy Spirit of God is brought forth both in the Old Testament and in the New. Turn, if you would, to Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33, and then we'll come back to John 14, and we'll look at verses 26 and 27. The distinct person of the Holy Spirit is brought forth in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Job 33, verse 4. The Scriptures declare, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Well, we know that He gives us life physically, but He also gives us life spiritually too, doesn't He? We who believe. Look at that. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now turn back to John 14, if you would. John chapter 14. We'll look at verses 26 and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now we can see here, the Holy Ghost is God. He is God. Take note that He is the teacher again of God's people. As we looked at earlier in John chapter 16. Oh my, look at here in verse 26. It says, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. See, the Lord is saying it again. In chapter 16, He's saying again what He said here. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us the things of Christ. Now, a man can learn a lot of things. We can learn a lot of things. We can learn a lot of worldly wisdom, couldn't we? Right? You can. And sometimes we can even learn stuff from the Scripture but not really know what it really says. But we can learn a few things. But when the Spirit of truth reveals who Christ is, when He reveals to us Christ, we are absolutely in awe of who God is. Because we get a glimpse for the first time of who our great God is. Of who our great God is. He teaches all things. So we see plainly in Scripture that God, the Holy Spirit, is a person equal in every point of view with the Father and the Son. Turn, if you would, to 1 John 5:7. There's a wonderful verse over here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, which brings forth the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, let us always remember that God, the Holy Spirit, is a person equal in every point of view with the Father and the Son. He's equal in glory. He's equal in all divine perfections with the Father and with the Son. He's no less equal in acts of love and grace towards the church, the elect of God. In the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, work together, beloved. Three are one, distinct, yet acting as one. Look what the Scriptures proclaim in verse 7 of 1 John 5. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. One God, yet three distinct persons. And let us remember that God, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity, a member of the Godhead, one with the Father, and one with the Son, blessed forever. So let us consider a few Scriptures that bring this forth. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9, and then put your finger in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, Hebrews chapter 9. We know that God is eternal, and the Holy Spirit is called the Eternal Spirit over here in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We see there, spot forth, that Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself out, note, without spots. That's key right there too. Oh, beloved, don't let those little words slip by there. Look at that. Sinless. Perfect. And when did he offer Himself out without spot to God? On Calvary's cross. On Calvary's cross. Offered Himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now go over to Isaiah chapter 40. The Scriptures declare the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator over the ends of the earth. And let us remember that this is God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they're one in the Godhead. They're one in the Godhead. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. The everlasting God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three who are one. The everlasting God, beloved. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And look what the Scriptures declare here. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Moses declared that it was Jehovah alone which led Israel in the wilderness. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 12, it says, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Isaiah confirms this same truth and said it was the Holy Spirit of God which led the people with His glorious arm. Over in Isaiah, God the Holy Spirit is one with the Father and one with the Son in all the attributes and perfections of God. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We are told in the Scriptures that it is God which worketh in His people, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You ever think of that? God works in His people, both the will and do His good pleasure. Think of that in light of your salvation. Think of that in light of you being born again by the Holy Spirit of God. This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Philippians chapter 2, look at verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Look at this. Look at verse 13. Now, this just destroys works-based salvation. This absolutely destroys it. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Think of that in light of us being conformed to the image of the Son, too. My. It's God who worketh in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Now turn over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and then we'll go back to John. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 to 11. Verses 1 to 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. My, oh my. Look what it says right there. And remember that the false gods that we work out in our minds are like dumb idols. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Look at this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So God, the Holy Spirit, gives gifts to the church, but they all come from the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, which is preaching, to another discerning the spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self-spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit of God. So if a man has a gift to preach, he can't boast. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Now, there's not one perfection of Jehovah in the Scripture that's not ascribed to the Holy Spirit of God. He's our comforter. He's ever with us. He guides us. He's the giver of spiritual life. Again, we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And all the almighty perfection spoken of the Father and Son, the Spirit has them too. The Father is said to have life in Himself. Listen to this. The Father is said to have life in Himself. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. John 5:26. The Son is said to be the life and light of man. Over in John 1:4 it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the Holy Ghost is said to give life. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. All three. The same thing ascribed to all three. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Eternal life is said to be of the Son. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this is in the Son, 1 John 5:11. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in Galatians 6:8, the scripture says this of the Spirit, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again. So now everlasting life is ascribed to all three of them. Because they're all God. One God, beloved. The three in one. So we see God, the Holy Spirit's person, and the fact that He is part of the Godhead. And how He is endeared to the church, beloved. Oh, how the Holy Spirit is endeared to the church. And His place in the everlasting covenant. God the Father gave a people to Christ in the everlasting covenant. And Christ redeems those people. He's redeemed that Calvary's cross. And beloved, the Holy Spirit regenerates those people. He regenerates them. He regenerates all those to whom the Father gave to Christ. He regenerates all those for whom Christ died for on Calvary's cross. So marvel, you who are redeemed. Marvel at this. Marvel that you're included in that number. Marvel at that. Marvel that you are one whom the Father chose in eternity in Christ. And have you ever thought of how before this wondrous act of regeneration is wrought out, which is again all by the power of God and all according to His will and all by done by the Holy Spirit of God, that before the child of God, when he's dead in trespasses and sins, when he or she is dead in trespasses and sins, we are unconscious of our high birth, as one commentator said. And the only reason they said high birth is because we're heirs and we don't even know it. You ever thought of that? We had no idea. We knew nothing of the Father's love or the Son's grace. We knew nothing of the purposes of Jehovah to the church from all eternity. We had no idea. We had no idea. We had no idea about the everlasting love of God towards His people. It was hid to us in that state. It was hid to us in that state. What Christ had done for us was hid from us in that state. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The truth of the only acceptance with God for the sinner being in Christ was hidden from us. Now, we may have heard it, but we didn't believe it. We didn't believe it. But one day when it pleased the Lord, and all by His power, we were born again of the Holy Spirit of God, and we had these things revealed to us. We had revealed to us that we are great sinners. And as one dear sister I talked to that attends here said, she said, and all, it just made me, it just put tears in my eyes to hear this. She said, one moment, Wayne, the Lord revealed to me that I was a great sinner. And the next second after, He revealed Christ to me. The Holy Spirit revealed Christ to me. Oh my, isn't that wonderful? That's what it is. And we believe. Because we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Our eyes were opened to behold the fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Our eyes were open to the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then with our lips and our hearts, we praise now the great three in one, giving God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for what He's done for us. And that glory and that honor and that praise is only due Him. Only due Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time that we could spend tonight looking in Thy Word, O Lord. We thank Thee for sending the Holy Spirit of God, our great Comforter,
who guides us into all truth, and oh, who revealed you to us, to we who are your people. Oh, we pray, Lord, if it's your will that the Holy Spirit would reveal Christ to a lost sheep of his through the preaching of this message, oh Lord, use it for your glory and honor and praise, we pray. We'll be quick to give you all the glory for it. We love you because you first loved us, in Jesus' name. Amen.